Hi there, it's Eric Crossley, Making a Difference, episode 32, Congratulations, America. Hi, I'm Eric Crossley, reporting from the Washington, Baltimore area. My producer, Dayron Arias, down in Florida. And we are excited with a lot of trepidation still, but a lot of excitement that today, on Saturday, November 7th, we have made history here in the United States. Because Joe Biden has been elected president. And also we have Kamala Harris, who becomes the first woman and the first woman of color to be vice president in our history. Welcome again, everybody. I'm Eric Crossley. We have a lot to cover. We want to give a big thanks to our great anchors, Anchor, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, anywhere you're listening today. Thanks so much for joining us. First of all, congratulations to everybody. And that includes us, everybody here who works on the show, everybody who listens to the show and who participates in our democracy. We want to talk about the record numbers and the record number of voters. But first of all, we just want to say congratulations to President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris. We are very excited that Joe Biden has won the presidency on the 48th anniversary of his first election to the Senate. That was November 7th, 1972. 38 years later, Joe Biden is our president. And what we'd like to do right now is go ahead and hear a little bit from President-elect Biden. He'll be speaking tonight at 8 o'clock everywhere. So please tune in for that wherever you are, or listen back to it. But right now we're going to hear from, this is actually President-elect Biden last night speaking from Wilmington. Let's hear that.
The purpose of our politics isn't total, unrelenting, unending warfare. No, the purpose of our politics, the work of the nation, isn't to fan the flames of conflict, but to solve problems, to guarantee justice, to give everybody a fair shot, and to improve the lives of our people. We may be opponents, but we're not enemies. We're Americans. And no matter who you voted for, I'm certain of one thing. The vast majority of the almost 150 million Americans who voted, they want to get the vitriol out of our politics. We're certainly not going to agree on a lot of issues, but at least we can agree to be civil with one another. We have to put the anger and the demonization behind us. It's time for us to come together as a nation to heal. It's not going to be easy, but we have to try. My responsibility as president will be to represent the whole nation. And I want you to know that I'll work as hard for those who voted against me as those who voted for me. That's the job. That's the job. It's called the duty of care for all Americans. We have serious problems to deal with. From COVID to the economy to racial justice to climate change, we don't have any more time to waste on partisan warfare. You know, and more than that, we have such an incredible opportunity to build the future we want for our kids and our grandkids. I've said many, many times, I've never been more optimistic about the future of this nation. There is no reason we can't own the 21st century. We just need to remember who we are. This is the United States of America. And there's never been anything we've been unable to do, unable to accomplish when we've done it together. I hope to be talking to you tomorrow. I want to thank you all, and may God bless you, and may God protect our troops. Good night.
That's President-elect Biden last night, Friday night, November 6th, in Wilmington, Delaware. And tonight, he'll be speaking at 8 o'clock. He is president-elect, and Kamala Harris, Senator Kamala Harris, former senator now, is vice president. I wanted to mention a couple things that President-elect Biden said there that are very important. Remember who we are as a people. What's been most distressing, as you probably know if you've listened to me in the show, which we've had on for the better part of the last 5.5 years since, unfortunately, Donald Trump came into the limelight and then became the nominee and eventually the president. the split in America is still there, and the healing is going to be difficult. I wanted to give you a look at the popular vote. This is not the final figure, but this is a good overview of the popular vote as of just a bit earlier this afternoon on Saturday, November 7th. And President-elect Biden, 74,478,662. Now to be former President Trump, 70,330,532. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris won the popular vote by over 4 million votes, and that's increasing every day. Today is Saturday. The election was Tuesday. Everybody knows quite well that this election would have been called long before this if we had gone by the popular vote, which almost every democracy in the world does. Every first world country does, except us. We still use the Electoral College, which is why we've been hanging on the edge the last few days watching the returns. And I did want to mention, in addition to congratulations, America, congratulations to Pennsylvania for turning back to the Democratic side. And we can thank Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, and maybe some in the Scranton area and a little in Harrisburg, but especially Philadelphia and Pittsburgh people for turning out and being able to turn a very, very red state in most of it, except for the population centers. I also want to mention that even though it's not final yet, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris looks like they're going to win Georgia, which is an incredible turnaround to win Georgia that has not been won by a Democrat since 1992. That was Bill Clinton. And the only reason he won in 1992 was because there was a third party candidate, as you might remember back then, Ross Perot. So congratulations to everybody and all the people down there in Georgia, and especially Atlanta, another of my favorite cities, who worked so hard to get this turned around and to get people, especially African-American people, but white people too, gay people like me too, and just people, who wanted to change and who were sick of what's been going on. And to realize that even though we lost Florida, which we have to think about what to do about that and how to work on Florida for next time, the fact that we did get the Democrats, and I say we, because I'm a Democrat and I wanted Joe Biden, as you know, to win. I'm not making that any qualms about that at all. But the fact that a Democrat has won Georgia is truly amazing. So congratulations on those. I also want to mention Arizona and Nevada. Arizona has now been called, at least I've called it, because I've seen enough places to have it. And Arizona is 11 electoral votes. Nevada has turned back Democrat also. That's 6 electoral votes. So right now I have, right now, not figuring some of the rest of them, but we have at least what looks like 290 electoral votes for Biden and Harris. And the president is not going to come near the 273, obviously, at this point, because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have passed 273 electoral votes and will be our next president and vice president. And a round of applause to everybody for your work and for congratulations on that. We do have a lot of other things to talk about. I want to mention, again, what President-elect Biden said there. We agree to be civil with each other. We may be opponents, but we're not enemies. What is still frustrating to me, being the person I am, and I think I'm a good person, not perfect by any means, but a good person and very well informed, is that it's encouraging that the Biden-Harris ticket won with over 74 million votes, a record, the most votes ever for any candidate for president in history. The second most votes ever for any candidate in history, unfortunately, was Donald Trump with over 70 million. So there's still a lot of people in this country, especially white people like me, especially men like me, who are still out there and still voting for even somebody like Donald Trump. And that is truly frustrating. But we're going to be talking about some positives in the coming part of the segment. And really the fact that Donald Trump is not going to accept this result and is going to fight every chance he gets in court is meaningless, because Nothing's going to change. Even recount in Georgia is not going to change. Congratulations to our future President Biden and our future Vice President Kamala Harris. We'll be right back. Eric Crossley back with the second part of Making a Difference, episode 32. Congratulations, America. And I want to give a big thank you to Dayron Arias, my producer down in Florida, and who's been with us. We've been together as a team now for quite a long time. And I know it was tough in Florida to see Donald Trump win, but we will deal with that. There's still a lot of good people down in Florida. And again, congratulations to the future president and vice president. Now let's talk a little bit about Joe Biden. One of the things that I was a little bit upset about during the election was that we didn't hear more about the backgrounds of our future president and vice president. And a lot of this really resonates with people because Joe Biden's story is one that's full of amazing success and amazing personal victories and a lot of hardship. Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. was born on November 20th, 1942 in Scranton, Pennsylvania. President-elect Biden will be 78 years old, bless his heart, actually 13 days from today. Biden became the sixth youngest senator in U.S. history when he was elected to the United States Senate from Delaware in 1972. Biden was a longtime member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and eventually its chair. He chaired the Senate Judiciary Committee from 1987 to 1995. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but Joe Biden actually ran unsuccessfully for the Democratic presidential nomination in 1988 and 2008. A lot of people know about 2008, but may not be aware that 1988. So that's an interesting one. Biden was reelected to the Senate six times and was the fourth most senior senator when he resigned to serve as Barack Obama's vice president after they won the 2008 presidential election. Obama and Biden were reelected, of course, in 2012. The part that a lot of people aren't aware of that I wish they'd just not to exploit it, but bring it out, and it may not have been brought out because it's such a heartache for the future president, but on December 18th, 1972, nearly 38 years ago, and right after his election to the Senate, Biden's wife, Nelia, and their one-year-old daughter, Amy, were killed in an automobile accident in Hockessin, Delaware. Biden's sons, Beau and Hunter, respectively suffered a broken leg and a minor skull fracture. Both fully recovered. And to see his sons every day, Biden commuted by train between Delaware and Washington, D.C. So he did that every day for 35 years. But when his wife and his young daughter were killed, he was just entering the Senate. And as a new senator, only 30 years old, coming to Washington, representing Delaware, like everybody else, he commuted on Amtrak between Wilmington and Washington, 90 minutes each way, every day while he was senator. And for so long, it's because he wanted to be with his sons, who lost their mother and their little sister and had an accident in their memory of tragedy. And the fact that he dealt with that is truly amazing. Now, Joe Biden credits his second wife, teacher Jill Tracy Jacobs, our soon-to-be future First Lady, with the renewal of his interest in politics and life. They met in 1975 on a blind date. Now, okay, this is 2020, so people have, you know, blind dates. Does not mean that one of the people had an impaired vision and was unable to see. It just means that the two people didn't know each other, but they were set up. And that's a lot of what kind of goes on now on the internet, although you can do a lot more about finding about the other person first. Generally, the blind date, you didn't know anything more about it except what your friends told you, and everybody set you up. So it's unusual to meet that way. It's unusual to stay together that way. And it's even more unusual to end up marrying the person you met on the blind date. They were married at the United Nations Chapel in New York in June of 1977. Their daughter, Ashley Blazer, is a social worker, so they have a daughter together. Now, Beau Biden became an Army Judge Advocate. That's the one of the sons of President-elect Biden. Became an Army Judge Advocate serving in the Iraq War and later as Delaware's Attorney General. Unfortunately, Beau Biden died of brain cancer in 2015. So again, more tragedy for the president-elect. He's had a lot of tragedy in his life, and he's overcome a lot as a human being. And to now take on the most strenuous job in the world, the most important job in the world right now, president of the United States, and the most strenuous at his age of nearly 78, is truly amazing. A little bit more on the personal story. In February of 1988, Biden was taken by ambulance to Walter Reed Medical Center. That's right outside Washington here in Maryland for surgery to correct a leaking intracranial brain aneurysm. He recovered after 7 months, which included some complications with the first surgery and a second aneurysm he had. And he overcame that too. So how impressive is that? How impressive is our future president of the United States? And I want to say he is the only president that I have met. I met him in Yellowstone Park. I was there on business. He happened to be there. He was vice president at the time. And I said hello to him and shook his hand, pre-coronavirus days. And I didn't see Barack Obama, who walked right past me when we were touring the White House years ago. The reason I didn't see him is because I was talking to some women, some tourists from out of town. So I missed the rest of my family. Actually saw and said hello and met President Obama. But I do have the distinction and joy of that meeting with, at the time, Vice President Biden, now our future president. And I believe he called me pal or something. He said, "How you doing, pal?" So Biden, again, 48 years on his anniversary of his first election to the Senate. Congratulations to you. Now, Kamala Harris is ascended to one of the nation's two highest offices. Marks an incredibly momentous occasion during the history of women's rights, and comes 100 years after the 19th Amendment guaranteed all women the right to vote. So that was in 1920, folks. Women have been voting now in our country for over 100 years, and we have the joy to say that we now have a woman and a woman of color who's vice president. A little bit more about Senator, soon to be Vice President Kamala Harris, an American lawyer and politician serving as the junior United States Senator from California since 2017. A Democrat, Harris is the second African-American woman and the first Indian-American to serve in the U.S. Senate. Harris, who ran for president herself, has already been vetted. She survived the primary relatively unscathed and emerged the top candidate to hop on Biden's ticket. Harris wants to be a president. Occasionally, the ambitions of a vice president can get in the way of a seamless working partnership. But in this case, her positioning herself would be a good thing because she might very well be president someday. And she is ready to go. Actually, Kamala Harris, we're going to have more about her and talk more about her background, but she has an amazing background besides her brief tenure in the Senate. And if you've heard her speak, you know that she will be a voice for everybody. And it is indeed a very, very historic day when we have a woman finally in the number two office, and hopefully one day the number one office in the United States. Congratulations to future Vice President Kamala Harris. I wanted to finish today's show on an upbeat note. We're not going to talk about what's going on right now with Donald Trump, who was on the golf course today, by the way. I think his aides decided just to take him out to the golf course. Last I saw, there was hundreds, maybe thousands of people outside the White House celebrating. I urge everyone to celebrate today and tonight, tomorrow if you want to. Continue to be careful. We had a record 125,000 cases of coronavirus on Friday. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And I do see the people out in the streets seem to almost all of them have masks on. But if I was younger, I would be tempted to be out there. But because of coronavirus, I wouldn't be. I would urge everyone to please, please be cautious. We'll have more in the next episode on the latest. And the future president, by the way, has already decided on Monday he would be naming a task force to work on this national pandemic. President has decided to completely forget about. And I want to finish with this. This is actually from a former Supreme Court justice. It's important to know that now, understand that now for at least the next 4 years, and hopefully beyond that with Kamala Harris, that we have a Democrat in the White House who can appoint the next opening in the Supreme Court and stop turning it completely to the right, as we saw, unfortunately, under President Trump with three appointments. This is Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who sadly we lost earlier this year. And of course, we had an appointment that was quite unfortunate that went through the Senate of her successor. But this is a former Justice of the Supreme Court, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Patriotism means to stand by the country. It does not mean to stand by the president or any other public official, save exactly to the degree to which he or she stands by the country. It is patriotic to support him or her insofar as he or she efficiently serves the country. It is unpatriotic not to oppose him or her to the exact extent that by insufficiently serving the country, they harm the country. It is unpatriotic not to oppose him or her to the exact context that by inefficiency or otherwise failing in his or her duty to stand by the country, we lose as a country. So that comes from a person who I admire greatly, and it was very sad to lose Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and she was a wonderful Supreme Court justice. It's important as we close this episode to say we congratulate America, but we're very much in a situation now that we talked about before, all the way during our campaign, and what could happen if Biden does win, Biden and Harris do win, and Trump and Pence are out. And now what happens is we have 74 days before the inauguration on January 20th. And we have to have a lot of trepidation about what the lunatic in the White House, and to be honest, he's completely lost his mind. And there's still people like Senator Ted Cruz and Senator Lindsey Graham, who unfortunately got reelected. I forgot to mention that. We'll talk more about the Senate races next time. But, and people, you know, who are out there still saying this election isn't over. So there's a lot of people out there right now who seem to think the election's not over. The election was called for Donald Trump on election night or morning 4 years ago, and they didn't have any problem with those projections. Now we have to, all of a sudden, now we have to count every single vote, and we have to wait until every single vote. That's not how it works. It's not how it ever has worked. So here's what I would say. I would say we as a country need to come together as much as we can, but we have to understand what we've talked about on this show for the last 5.5 years about Donald Trump. He is dangerous. He's still dangerous. He always will be dangerous. He'll always be our worst president ever. And thank God that we have a new president, Joe Biden, and a new vice president, Kamala Harris, that in 74 days will help us end this national nightmare. And I say, God bless them and God bless the United States of America. And thanks so much for listening, folks, making a difference. And congratulations, America. Let's celebrate. I'm Eric Crossley. We'll see you next time.